In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to Mads World. I'm your host, Mads, and I hope you've been enjoying season 10 so far. If you're new here or if you've been enjoying the show, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast as it's the simplest way to help out the show. Or just find me on social media and tell all your friends about it. This week, I'm joined by two-time award-winning sex-positive, queer, and neurodivergent content creator, Cassie Rattray. She hosts the podcast From Tops to Bottoms with her bestie, where they talk about sex, queer life, and feminism. Cassie is an accredited sex educator who prides herself on her honest, inclusive, consent-focused RSE. She is a feminist activist who admittedly spends a lot of time being angry at the world, but aside from the rage, Cassie is heavily involved in her local kink scene, is a big Liverpool fan, and loves a thriller novel. In this episode, we'll be discussing defining bisexuality, coming to terms with bisexuality, Cassie's experiences dating as a bi person, navigating sexuality in everyday life, how we can make sex ed more inclusive, myths and tropes in the media about bi people, and so much more. Hello, Cassie.
Hi.
How are you?
I am really good, thank you. Really happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast and have a great little chat after our speed date question round, which is up first. So my first question for you is, what is your favorite pop culture moment?
I'm like a pop culture whore, if you will. I do love pop culture. So this is quite difficult, but I would have to say timeless one.
Yep.
Probably, you know, that scene in Big Brother when David's dead. I love that. That will never die. Like, if no one knows what that is, basically David Bowie died and his ex-wife was told on the show. And she was obviously like distraught, and then someone, who was it that came up to her?
It's Tiffany Pollard.
Tiffany. And yeah, and then he's like, David's dead, you can't tell anyone. She's going, oh my god, David's dead.
And David in the house is who she thinks is dead. Yeah. I literally showed this to my Irish housemates the other day because they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, what do you mean? And watching their face for the first time, it was like this awakening where they're like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, I can't believe you haven't seen it. Do you know what? There's another Big Brother one that I love, and it's on Indian Big Brother, and it's when Pooja kicks this bucket, and then she's like, the other girl's like, pick it up. And she's like, you want to pick it up? You pick it up. She's like, you want to fight? You're asking for it. You're dying for it. Get off my back. And then starts smashing this broom, and everyone in the room is like, Pooja, what is this behavior? Like, behave this way. It's so, please look it up after this. And if you're listening, please look it up because it is so, so funny. It's iconic.
Why aren't I watching that? Oh my God, that's sounding iconic.
I know. I can't wait for Big Brother in October to come back in the UK. Oh. I'm actually moving home to Australia end of October 2023. If you're listening, that's a pretty big life update. But I'm going to be watching Big Brother 5 a.m. with my jet lag, sitting in bed on my phone. I'm going to have to get a little VPN. I don't even know how I'm going to watch it, but I'm going to bloody persevere and figure out how.
Find a way.
I know. Honestly. And my next question is, what is your greatest achievement?
My greatest achievement, gosh, that is like such a big question.
It's all encompassing, isn't it? It's like so huge.
I think like, work-wise, I think it would either be winning the award for micro influencer of the year with Brooke.
That's so cool.
Yeah, Brooke holds such like a dear place in my heart. It's a sexual health charity. Yeah. So winning that award was like huge. And then probably being nominated for the LCR Pride Award for Young Person of the Year. That was gorge. That was like really shocking, actually.
Yeah.
And then non-work-wise, because I do feel like all achievements shouldn't be work-wise, should they? I feel like just like still being here, still like pushing on. Like I feel like life's really shit and really hard for so many people. Like, we've all been through COVID, like we've all been through our personal trauma. So I think it's a pretty big achievement that like I'm still standing, bitch.
And smashing it. It's so true. And I feel like so many people focus on work achievements as like milestones throughout their life. But then I guess it's even like health things, like when you overcome certain things. And this is something I've been wanting to talk about on the podcast because I just want to tell as many people as possible is that for a year, like for the last year, I've had hives every day. I went to hospital twice at the end of last year with an allergic reaction to something. And the doctors were like, you've just got chronic hives. You're allergic to something. We don't know what it is, but you'll be fine. Had to take 8 antihistamines a day. Then I saw a TikTok a month ago about how people are getting allergic to their acrylics and their gel nails. I got them off. I went to get them done with a friend. I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to see. Got my gel polish off my toes and my hands taken off, and now I haven't had hives in a month. And I was fully allergic my own acrylic nails and my own shellac toes. How crazy is that?
Pop off TikTok. I know.
TikTok. And I literally, after that, I went and like looked up all these articles and I was like deep in these research studies. It's this ingredient called methacrylate or HEMA, H-E-M-A, if you're listening.
Wow.
I swear to God, if you've had hives, I want to like make a TikTok that goes viral and everyone hears about this, because apparently 2.4% of people are allergic to methacrylate, which is in their nails. So if there's, and it comes from like, because I had acrylic nails for probably 3 years, nonstop, no breaks, and then constant exposure to that chemical, you can just get fully allergic. And I was hospitalized. Like my whole body swelled up. The ambulance was like, you're going to go into anaphylactic shock. Like it was crazy, Cassie.
Oh
like,
my God, I'm gagged. What the fuck?
My own nails. And now I see TikToks of like girls with their nice nails and they're like, you know, French tips and that, which I'm a nail girly, and now I've got these little hot dog nails, but I'm like, I love you. I love you. My clean little nails. And I'm like, that is a fucking huge milestone for me, because the doctors were like to me, you're going to have this for probably 1 to 5 years, Jeez. Maybe more. And if I had kept getting the nails, I would have never have found out. So I'm like, that for me, biggest achievement is figuring out my own shit and getting my nails off.
The doctors couldn't.
I know.
Wow.
And I've been to immunologists, dermatologists, allergy specialists, like every doctor, like private, everything. And they're like, we have no idea what it is. And it's just fully my nails. So
Maddie,
crazy.
That is literally wild.
I know.
So congrats to that.
I know. Like,
Jesus Christ.
I know. So crazy. So yeah, I think it's great that you've picked a non-work one, because that's my non-work one for today.
Love that for us.
I know. And I'd love if you could tell me all about your platform, Radical Love, because it's such an incredible platform, and it sort of leads into your podcast from tops to bottoms as well. If you want to touch on that too, it's why I've asked you to come on the podcast. I feel like it's such a great fit for Mads World. So yeah, just tell me everything from how it started to how it's going.
So it started just at the start of lockdown, as a lot of people's projects did, I guess.
Same with Mads World.
Anyone I speak to in this industry, they're like, so lockdown. I'm like, oh, girly, same.
Yeah.
But funny story, really, my platform, Radical Love, it kind of began like from an orgasm. And like, I know that's like the craziest thing, but like, I'd always been a feminist, but I don't think I'd ever really like put a huge label on it, or it wasn't a huge part of my life. I was always like having those conversations, but not as deep as I do like I do now. But I think I was maybe 21, I think, and I hadn't had an orgasm. And you hear about these things, like that you see orgasms on TV and in porn and people talking about them. And I was like, I am determined to do this. One day I was like, I'm just gonna continue wanking and see what happens. And then something did happen, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? And it was an orgasm.
Like, is this what they were talking about?
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit. Like, one, immediately addicted. Two, I was like, oh my God, I did that. Like,
yeah, like,
this is stupid.
This is my entire personality for the rest of my life now.
Literally, but I was it honestly changed my life, because I was just like, I think before then I'd only really been in like heterosexual relationships.
Yeah.
And like sex was for my partner or like ex-partners in the past. Like I was having sex for them, really. It was never for me. I was getting no pleasure out of it.
Yeah.
Really.
It's like for closeness sometimes. Like sometimes if I'm not even in the mood, it's like you just like, it's nice to do for someone else. It's nice to be close. It's like nice to have like skin on skin or cuddling. Yeah. Like it's not always about the sex, but then I guess it changed the game when you realized like how it could be.
So I was like, this is insane. Like I can do this myself. And it just like gave me like this like newfound love for like me and my body. And like, I grew up with like so many body insecurities. Like I was really insecure about like my vulva and like getting into feminism, which that orgasm made me do, I guess. I just was like, more people need to feel this way. Like I then started reading books and listening to podcasts and like completely like opening my world to these new things, and then just made my own account and was posting all these things, like things about like sexual liberation, things about sex education, feminism, my vulva, wanking, stuff like that. And I just wanted more people, especially women and femmes and queer people, to know what I knew, you know what I mean? Like I wanted them to be liberated and love themselves and like feel what I feel. All this from a fucking orgasm, for God. But like that's how it began. And then the podcast, I guess because I was like having all these like conversations, and you know, we were in lockdown, I was living with my parents, and they were so sick of me talking about things. They were, my dad was like, can we just have one dinner where you're not talking about like ethical porn, or like one dinner where you're not like talking about beauty standards?
Oh my God, have you seen that TikTok where it's she says something and then the guy's like, I just want you to stop saying odd shit.
My dad.
So accurate.
Actually, it's so funny.
I'll send you it. It's funny.
But yeah, that was my dad. And my mom, they were just like, my mom speaks very fondly of it now. She's like, I loved watching you grow like that. But my dad was like, just give me 1 minute, like, shut up.
Yeah.
So I was like FaceTiming Sam, who is like my best friend. We lived in China together.
Wow.
And then when I moved home to do my nursing degree, and Sam stayed there. So she's still in China. So we were FaceTiming all the time because we were in lockdown, and we were having these conversations together, and maybe a little bit big-headed and narcissistic of us, but we were like, these are brilliant conversations. People need to be hearing this. Like, we are smart.
Yeah, I love that. And men do it all the time, so why not?
Literally, like, and men, like, chat shit. At least we, like, make sense and, like, help people. So we just decided that we were going to create a podcast, and took us a while to think of a name, but we thought From Tops to Bottoms was like perfect, like such a gay name. And then we just started talking about like sex, feminism, like our mental health. We've done episodes on ethical porn, BDSM. We've had a gorgeous friend of ours who's a sex worker come on, and we've had authors come on. And do you know what? It's taken us like great places, and I absolutely love the podcast, and it's helped me grow, and I know that it's helped other people grow. I met I was in OMG the other day. And some girl came up to me, she's like, oh my God, are you Radical Love? And I was like, oh my God, yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. How good.
And I've had it a few times before, but this was different because she was like, I have listened to the podcast for years. And she took me to the bar, bless her, to buy me a drink. And she was like, she knew my cat's name.
What?
She was like, she was like referencing episodes.
Oh,
and like,
that's
it was so nice.
Cool.
And she was like holding my arm. And she was like, you have taught me so much. And like, girlie, you're going to get me crying in the club.
Oh, that's so nice.
And I went home and I was like, we've helped people. And like going back to what I said before, like, I just wanted people to feel the way I felt. It was nice to know that like, well, actually we did achieve that. And like, we also won Micro Influencer of the Year, like 2-3 years ago, I think. And like, I don't know, it was just nice to know that like we set out with a goal and we reached that goal while still really enjoying it and like really loving what we're doing.
It's so nice that you can connect with your friend as well while she's living in China. Is she still in China now?
Yeah, she'd actually just come back for 3 weeks.
Oh my God, you must be buzzing.
Literally crazy. But when that girl came up to me in OMG, I was like, you will be excited then. Sam is home in two weeks. And she was like, shut up. And I was like, yes.
Oh, that's so lovely. And it's brought you here to Matt's World too, which is so exciting. And I'm so glad we've connected. That's also brilliant. And yeah, I'm so proud of everything you've achieved. That's just incredible. And yeah, I hope you have the best 3 weeks as well with Sam. That's awesome.
Thank you. I literally can't wait to see her.
Yeah. And my final question for this round is, tell me your funniest date story.
Oh gosh, I have many. I think I was thinking about this last night, like which date story do I tell? And I was texting my friend about it and she was like, why is this even a question? You need to say this one.
Yeah.
So I went on a date with this guy. I will not say his name, but he was asking me to go on a date for forever. For the whole time that I knew him, I met him when I was in a relationship. And he was always very flirty. And then afterwards, when we broke up, he was like, please let me take you on a date. Kept saying no. And then he kept persisting. These days, I'd probably be a bit more like, fuck off.
Leave me alone.
This was 5 years ago, I think. And I was like, okay, like, let's go on this date. Like, you seem like a nice person. I was just heartbroken when I was saying that. So we went to the cinema. I bizarrely went to the cinema twice that week on two dates, both to see The Joker. Why, man?
You went twice?
And what is wrong with me? Like, well, I did try and say to this other guy, like, oh, how about this film? And he was like, if we're going to cinema, we're going to see The Joker. And I was like, I've fucking already seen it. I'm anti going to cinema on first dates anyway. Like, I think it's just such a stupid first date. But anyway, back to this date. So I'd already been to see The Joker at this point. We sat down, we were having like a great conversation-ish, I guess, before the film started. And then before the film starts, like the credits about to end, he's like, oh, I'm going to open my food now because I don't want it to be loud when it came on. And I was like, okay, I respect that. Yeah. Like, open your crisps or whatever now. This man pulled out a fucking tinfoil packet.
What?
Yeah. Oh. A fucking tinfoil packet. Opened it.
What's in
and
there?
It's like a salmon and avocado sandwich.
No, from home?
From home. It's like salmon, avocado, and like sour cream. And he was so proud of this butty. And he was telling me that he'd made it and he bought the salmon from fucking M&S. And I was like, bro, it fucking hums. Like, it stinks.
And also, like, where's mine? Like, you just brought one for yourself? Like, what?
Respectfully, I would have declined it, but excuse, like, the fuck out of you. Where's me buffy?
Where's mine? And like, the thing, like, for me, the cinema, half of it is going and paying 13 Great British pounds for a popcorn and a little Tango Blast.
Yeah.
And when I say little, I mean fucking huge. Yeah. I want the biggest popcorn and the biggest drink. And I will not eat all of it and I will not drink all of it, but I don't care.
So true.
It's part of it. Like, I don't want to bring my food from home. Like, when people say to me, this is so, sounds so dumb, but like, people are like, let's go to Sainsbury's and get popcorn or snacks before the movie. I'm like, I want to buy them there. Like, that's,
I would rather die. Okay.
Yeah, like, buy yucky popcorn from Sain.
But I had bought popcorn. Like, I had gone, because that's just what you do. Like, hello, I'm a normal person.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, do you want anything? And he was like, oh, no, I'm good. And I was like, okay. I thought he just like wasn't hungry or whatever, but it's known he'd got this tinfoil fucking sandwich out. So I was like, I'm going to try my best not to judge you because this is fucking horrific.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, and I hate fish.
Oh,
hate,
yeah, that makes it so much worse.
I literally can't, I'll eat anything but fish. So the film begins. Oh. And I shit you not, mate. Like, it was like the film wasn't on. He was like, so anyway, how have you been lately?
What? You're like, it's on.
And I was like, oh, mate, I don't know if you've noticed, but like,
the movie started.
The film started, mate. I was like,
shut your mouth.
On the screen, and I was like, oh yeah, I've been really good, really looking forward to this film,
looking forward to watching it and engaging with it, not listening to you talk.
Literally, even though I'd seen it 24 hours prior, I still wanted to see it again.
Yeah, it's a double up. Like, you can do that back to back because there's a lot going on. Like, yeah. So stressful movie.
Well, you shut your mouth. And then he just kept being like, oh, yeah. So I was in work the other day. And, you know, Rachel, because I knew people that he worked with, you know, Rachel, oh, she's been going through this. And I was like,
what?
You're gonna have to shut up now. Like, this is embarrassing.
And people who do that on the couch, like, that's annoying. People who do it in a movie where I've paid my £13 for my popcorn and my Tango Blast, and I paid to see a piece of cinema. Shut up.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, first of all, the smell. Second of all, the noise. Third of all, you're a man. I'm gonna lose my rag. Like, this is too much for me to handle.
Yeah.
So I said to him in the end, I was like, I made a joke of it and I was like, oh my God, like, babe, you're going to have to shut up. People are going to be like complaining about us. You're like chit-chatting away. And he's like, ha ha ha. What? It lasted all of 60 seconds. And this man, so anyway, and I was like,
shut up right now. Oh, people are so unaware. I just can't deal. It's like, yeah, maybe it was his first movie date. Do you know what? Movie dates, and I do feel for him because he probably wanted to chat and like hang out and talk and get to know you and stuff. But a movie date is just not the one for a first date. Like, that's like boyfriend date. You know what I mean? Like, go for a drink, go for a walk, go for a coffee, anything. Yeah. But like something where you can like actually get to know each other. But the cinema, it's like, I paid to watch this film and I will not be speaking or listening to you.
Absolutely not. The minute we walked out, because he was talking with his little salmon breath.
Oh.
And when we left, we left and he's like, oh, do you fancy going for a drink? And I was like,
no.
I don't know how you got more conversation in you, babe, because you've been chatting for that whole fucking 2 hour film.
What more could you have to say?
So I was like, sorry, mate, I'm going home. I can't be fucking arsed with this. I'm off.
I'm going to go sit in silence and stare at the wall, please.
No, literally. I'm going to go watch The Joker again. And
yeah, I'm overstimulated. I need to watch my new comfort film. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Thank you so much for doing the speed date question round. And I've asked you to come on the podcast to chat all about bisexuality, because bisexuality and just getting deep on it and speaking about concepts like sex education and bi erasure and so many different topics is something that I haven't done as much on the podcast. So I'm really excited to chat with you about that. But to start us off, what is your own personal definition of bisexuality? Because I think some people find it a challenge to, and I have found this a challenge as well in the past, to differentiate it from pansexuality. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just love to know, when we're speaking about all these themes, what's your personal definition of bisexuality?
So I knew I was going to be asked this, so I really did have a think about like what would be my personal one. So I wrote it down that I think my definition is like the ability to be physically, emotionally, and sexually attracted to more than one gender. So for me, like, I have the ability to be attracted or to fall in love with or to be intimate or sleep with any, but more than one gender. So it could be two genders, it could be three genders, it could be the opposite sex and a non-binary person, I guess. But pansexuality, there is a lot of discourse surrounding bisexuality and pansexuality. Sometimes it can be quite aggressive online, not from anyone's side, but people just get quite heated about it. But I would say my definition of pansexuality is attraction to anyone regardless of gender, sex, or gender expression, and there's no preference, whereas people who are bisexual can often have a preference. So I have a friend who is bisexual and she does have a preference for women.
Okay.
And whereas a lot of pansexual people, there is no preference. They just have attraction to anyone regardless of gender, sex, or gender expression. That's not to say that they're attracted to anyone they meet. They just have the ability to.
Okay. And how did you come to terms with your own bisexuality and what was your journey like there?
It was quite difficult for me. I think people just assume that it's not difficult for bisexual people because, well, it's biphobia. They think that like it's not as big as coming out as gay or big as coming out as lesbian. But it was difficult because I knew that the people around me wouldn't believe me. I had a friend and she came out as bi, and my other best friend just ripped her to shreds and said that it was for attention. She wanted boys to find her attractive, et cetera, et cetera. So when I eventually came out, I kind of got that from my mum. She didn't necessarily say it was for attention, but she just, it was very much, this is a phase, blah, blah, blah. And she outright said that she didn't believe me. I was head over heels in love with this girlie. Not sure I was in love with her, but I would ask any like queer woman, and your first relationship or like feelings for another woman, the heartbreak after is just crazy. And I took the morning off work because I was really like heartbroken. And my mom came in the room and she was like, "Are you okay?" And I explained to her, and she just, rather than comforting me going through a heartbreak, she just focused solely that it was a woman. And she was like, "I don't get it, Cass, because, you know, you've always dated men." And my mum's quite like she'll make things jokey. She was like, "But you like Willie?" And I was like, "But girlie, like, that's the definition of bisexuality. Like, I do like Willie, yeah, but I also like pussy. Like, that's the point of it." You know what I mean?
And then for anyone listening who doesn't know, what would you regard biphobia as? Because obviously the idea that people don't believe in it could be encompassed in that, or that people believe that, you know, it's a way for straight women to get attention from men or to come across as the cool girl. Like, what sorts of things might present themselves as biphobia?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Biphobia is a lot more common than you would think. I think it's because, again, people don't take bisexual people seriously. But biphobia can be bi erasure, which would be we are often not in queer history with either gay people or lesbian people. Bisexuals aren't really mentioned. So a lot of our history gets muddled up with lesbian history, when actually, because there was no like definition at the time, they just get muddled up. Day to day, it could just be like, I am currently in a long-term relationship with a woman, assuming that I'm a lesbian.
Yeah,
that is biphobia, because you are raising bisexual people and you're just assuming that it doesn't exist, and that like my partner is a lesbian but I am bisexual, and like, and that matters, you know.
And I suppose it's people just making those assumptions and then you know, not having an idea of the bigger picture and just wanting to label people in boxes that they understand or that they comprehend, which is just, it's so hurtful for you as well as someone who's gone on the journey of discovering your identity and finding out who you are, and you know, going through what is probably similar to like a grieving process, in that, you know, you could probably be in denial about it, and then you go all through to acceptance, and now you're out and you've told everyone who you are, and then to hear from people, to be put in those categories again once you've done all of that work must be so difficult.
Yeah, it is a pet peeve of mine, really. Like, I've had a lot of conversations with my mom about it recently, and she did say recently, like, I did some research and I do get it, that like, why you get so frustrated and upset when I refer to you as a lesbian. And it's not that I am offended about being called a lesbian. I love lesbians. I'm dating a lesbian. Lesbians are great. But I'm not a lesbian. I am bisexual. And it took me a while to get to that label. And I'm proud of it. But I think what you just said there is like so right. Like people do like to put people in boxes. And it's easy for them to understand. Like I think that some people, whilst they are, you know, allies, that they do rely heavily on monosexism, which is monosexuality, which is like the idea that you're either gay or you're straight, and there's no in between. When actually, like the queer spectrum is huge, like it's vast, and people need to be more open to that. And because they don't, people like myself who are bisexual or people who just identify as queer, they are left out of the conversation or just forgotten about. And it is really frustrating. And then you do get shit things said about you and you do get not believed. And
I'm sure it makes a lot of bisexual people reluctant to come out, maybe in a way that is similar to gay people. And I don't want to make assumptions or anything, but, you know, I think some people may feel or assume that bi women or bi men have it easier in some way because you can mask as a straight person and you can just be in a straight presenting relationship and then that other side of your sexuality and identity isn't something that is completely obvious. So I suppose that must be a challenge that you come up against with, because people might think, oh, you've got it so easy, but it's not really like that.
I think that that is such a tricky one, and I always find it is a great conversation to have. Straight passing privilege is a thing, but then you do have to take into consideration that like your identity is you know being stripped of you.
Yeah.
So it's like a double-edged sword, you know what I mean? I think that whilst it's brilliant that someone who is bisexual and doesn't look visibly queer, or the things that we would deem queer, like if I was to walk down the street in my combats and some Doc Martens and my short hair and like, tattoos, people would probably look at me and be like, oh, she's queer. And they would be right. But like if someone didn't and they just look like your average straight person but they were bisexual, would it be a privilege for them to walk down the street without fear of being attacked or receiving abuse? Yes. But then also to have everyone assume you're straight all the time must be incredibly frustrating.
To having to explain yourself all the time and having to like come out again and again and again rather than people accepting who you are. And what's your experience with dating relationships been like as a bi person?
It's been 50-50, to be honest with you. I think that, and it's not just been from cis men that the bad experiences have come from so from cis men it's been a lot of that's interesting, oh that's quite sexy, oh should we bring a third in, blah blah blah. So and that is frustrating. Like my mum, to bring up my mum again, sorry, I'd say like that it must be nice, like men thinking that that's like attractive, and I'm like, no, that's like sexualizing something very strange to sexualize. And I'm definitely more than my sexuality.
Yeah, and also sexuality is not just about sex either. It's also about love and commitment and, you know, closeness and people you want to like spend time with and, you know, romance and all sorts of things. Like it's not just sex, which is I think what people think of when they were speaking about sexuality, because it also encompasses things like love.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of cis men do not think that way though, unfortunately. I totally agree with you, but you're right that the fact that they jump straight to sex is very strange. So there's been that. I've also had a few men sort of deny and been like, well, you're with me now, so you're straight, which is just stupid. But then with like cis women, I've dated some lesbians, or I've like slept with some lesbians that have not wanted to date me, or some people haven't even wanted to sleep with me because I'm bisexual. I don't know if you've ever heard of the term gold star lesbian, but it's basically someone that hasn't like had like P&V sex. And obviously that's not me. Like I sleep with and have slept with lots of different genders, lots of different sexes. But a lot of people still like to go by that rule of I won't sleep with anyone unless they're like a gold star lesbian, which is just one, gross, and two, like it's quite pathetic.
And it perpetuates that myth or that perception that bisexual people are more promiscuous in some way, which is just not the case. But it's something, I guess that's one of the more common stereotypes that is attached to being bisexual. But what would you say the other myths about bisexuality are, and how do these myths impact bi people?
I would say that another myth that is told all the time, and it's also like always in books and on TV and things like that, is that it's a stepping stone.
I've heard this.
Yeah, lesbian or to coming out as gay, and for men and for women. And again, it goes back to what we were saying before about, you know, people like to understand things, and the closest they can get is, oh, gay, lesbian, and there's no in between. They like to put you in boxes, so they assume that like this is just like a stepping stone because people are too scared to come out, or like this is just like their way to start the coming out process. But again, that invalidates people who are bisexual. Could it be a stepping stone for some people? Yes, it could, and like that's fantastic and that's brilliant. I think that sexuality is fluid in the same way that gender is fluid, and if you want to try out new labels, you want to try out new pronouns, I think that's brilliant. But then to define one label as just a stepping stone is quite insulting, because I am bisexual and this is not a stepping stone for me. Mm. I have been in a relationship for nearly 3 years with a woman, and I still don't believe that I'm a lesbian. Mm-hmm. So I think that one is really common, and it is frustrating because I think that it affects people, especially when they're closeted, because you're afraid that people aren't going to take you seriously. If you know, let's say I was closeted now and then I came out as bisexual, mm-hmm. I would be worried that people around me would be like, oh, well, okay, in a month she's going to come out with a lesbian then. And then everyone around me would automatically assume that I'm a lesbian. So it is really frustrating.
And do you think the media perpetuates that stereotype? And what do you think the current state of bi representation is in the media?
The media are horrific when it comes to bisexual representation. Like there are 1,000 myths about bisexuality, like that, you know, we're slots, bisexual men don't exist, it's for attention, it's a stepping stone, things like that. But and it always seems to be that the media will always play on that. The bisexual girly in the film is a bit of a slut, and she gets her tits out and she's like hooking
a
up
wild
with everyone.
Girl. Yeah.
Like your manic pixie dream girl sort of thing.
Definitely, like up for anything type. Yeah.
And it takes it back to sex, because it always does. So I feel like the representation is always really, really poor. I think that especially bisexual men, there's a lot about it that they're not existing, and that for them they get the stepping stone thing a lot more. I'd say there's no bisexual representation for men until recently. Heartstopper.
Oh,
I don't know if you watched it.
I've been saving it up for when I'm like really ill or something and I need to smash out a series. I've seen all the clips on TikTok. I've seen Olivia Colman. I'm like buzzing to watch it, but I actually can feel a cold coming on. So I'm like, maybe this is the weekend.
This is the time. Well, basically, it's not real. Have you started it at all?
I know the premise. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this guy who everyone thinks is straight, he comes out as bi, but when he's like dating somebody, everyone's like, oh, I didn't know you were gay.
Yeah.
And like his line throughout the entire second season is, I'm bi actually. And me and my partner watched it together and she just kept looking at me and laughing because it's like the slogan of my life. I always say like, oh, I'm actually bi. I'm bi actually. And his boyfriend in one of the episodes said, Nick's actually bisexual, he's not gay. And I just started crying because that's what Ashley does for me. And I always love that because
it's exhausting having to explain yourself all the time. It's nice to have someone on your team who's like, can pick up when you're feeling like you can't be bothered saying it again. Yeah,
absolutely. So I think that the representation has always been pretty crap. I feel like writers need to speak to bisexuals, writers need to be bisexuals, like have more queer people in the room. But from Heartstopper, like I think that was such a gorgeous show and a great first step, and I'm hoping that people will from that take bisexuality seriously, because lots of clips from that did go viral, and I really, 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 really hope that people are going to take bisexuality a bit more seriously.
And probably in the gay community as well, would you say that you hope that the gay community outside of bisexuals sees that message and then it becomes like, would you say that bi erasure and biphobia is prevalent in the gay community?
Oh God, yeah. I think that it's quite a common misconception that when you come out, you've got this gorgeous community waiting for you. And whilst you do, and like the community that I'm in is beautiful and like helped me in many ways, but it's not, it wasn't as cut and dry as that. Like this queer phobia from outside the community and within the community. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of, you know, when I was younger, I told someone I was bisexual. I was working in Greggs, and I told this man I was bisexual. Mm-hmm. He was a gay man. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I thought you were going to say lesbian. You're not sexy enough to be bisexual. And
oh, God.
We could unpack that for hours. Hours.
Yeah.
Like what that means for lesbian and what that means for bisexuals. But I was just like, oh, God.
And going back to the media side of things as well, I think because a lot of the traditional Western media that we would be used to consuming, like growing up, is probably through a male gaze lens, that's probably why female bisexual women are seen as more sexualized, because it's something that men enjoy seeing. And then, like you said yeah. before, male bisexual people, there's less of that scene. And
yeah.
and like you said, it is a stepping stone. So it's all kind of through that lens of straight white cis men mm-hmm. that are creating a narrative for what they find comfortable, because yeah. they're happy to watch women getting it on. They're happy to watch threesomes with two women and a man, but then they're not happy yeah. to see, you know, gay or bi men being happy mm. with another man, or even yeah. even showing love, or just like kissing yeah. or closeness, or like, you know, getting to know each other. There's actually a movie coming out that I really want to see with Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott soon about a gay relationship. And ooh. I think it's going to change the game. It looks like utterly brilliant. I reckon it's going to win loads of awards. But okay. I think, yeah, the way that cinema, and not just cinema, but like even like TV programming, even just like even like books, like everything is just, I think
yeah.
There's an exciting change, especially since Barbie this year as well. I think mm. people are wanting to see more media created by women, for women yeah. and for, yeah. you know, the LGBT community. Because like mm. the thing is, if it's all men creating it, everyone's still watching it. But it's like there's such a large community that those messages don't resonate with, and people yeah. don't enjoy it. Like I don't mm. enjoy watching content where I'm like, yeah, if they've got like a woman behaving in a certain way, and you're like, she would never do that. Like,
yeah.
you know, like when a woman's lost in the jungle and she's like, what do we do now? And it's just like, as if a woman would ever say that. A woman knows yeah. what to do at all times. Like,
do you know what? I'm an avid reader.
Yeah.
And I just don't read books from men anymore, because it's always like,
yeah.
she grabbed her ample breasts and said, and like, shut up. No one's grabbing their tit and being like,
yeah.
fuck me. You know, like, shut up. But I feel like coming back to what you said about like men
mm.
writing about bisexuals, and like, I think it is like we are there for their view and pleasure, and like
yeah.
it's all in the name of allyship, you know what I mean? But it's yeah. not allyship if you're not actually taking
yeah.
bisexuality seriously. And you can tell when they're not, because as you mm-hmm. said, they're not writing stories about bisexual men, and that's because it doesn't turn them on. It doesn't, they're not attracted to that. But it does when it's two women. But just being attracted to two women, getting it on, isn't allyship.
Yeah.
Like you're not a queer ally.
In terms of challenging these myths and perceptions and stereotypes, we've spoken in the past about sex education, and I'd love to know what your own experiences with sex education have been and were when you were growing up.
So my sex education was terrible. Mm-hmm. That is why I do what I do now. I'm an accredited sex educator. I go into schools, I do things online. And I focus solely on queer sex education and consent. Mm-hmm. They're the two things that I focus on. Not just teach about, but they are the main things that I focus on. And so my sex education was really shit. Like it was very much, okay, boys, you go outside and the girlies are going to sit in here and we're going to teach them about periods and pregnancy. And then the boys are going to learn about wet dreams. And, you know, and we didn't learn about pleasure. We didn't learn about queer people. And uh-huh. We were taught about STIs in a really like a fear-mongering way, which
yeah.
What I say to young people now, even adults, is that the worst thing you can do really is Google gonorrhea, is Google syphilis, anything that is going to show you a really horrific image, because it's not always, sometimes it is, but it's not always a proper representation of what mm-hmm. the symptoms of an STI can look like. In school, they would show you the worst image possible. And let's say tomorrow you woke up and you had, they weren't quite looking like the warts you've seen, but they were like little red marks. You would go, oh, well, it's not warts because it's not the picture that I've seen. So I do always tell people, like, don't do that. But yeah, I think that it was not inclusive at all. It wasn't inclusive of like queer people, disabled people, people of colour. It just wasn't.
And how would you, if you could have an impact on sex education in schools or just even in adulthood, how could you make it more inclusive of bisexual people?
First of all, I would keep everyone in the same room. I really, really hate the idea of splitting people up by genders. I think that not everyone fits into this binary idea of man, mm-hmm. woman. So mm-hmm. why we shouldn't be splitting people up. We should be teaching young people from a young age. And I know people are very anti that, but like, as we've said 100 times in this episode, sexuality isn't just about sex. Mm. We should be teaching young people about gay people, about bisexual people, about lesbians. Mm. We should be teaching young people about queer people and non-binary people and trans people. We should be doing that.
And about healthy relationships for those people as well. Yeah. Like how to have a functioning relationship, things like abuse, things like, you know, red flags to look out for, like all that stuff is so important. And it's like, and then it also takes the focus away from just sex. Cause sex does encompass, at the end of the day, it encompasses relationships. Like everyone has the capacity to have sex, or, you know, pretty much everyone and has, you know, a desire. Most people have a desire to be in a relationship and a healthy relationship, and even like have healthy friendships and family relationships. Yeah. Like, you know, I think that's a really important point to make as well, that it isn't just to do with sex.
Yeah. I think that you're so right. It's absolutely not just to do with sex, but even in the sex part of it, we're kind of left in the dark. And I find that because queer people, let's talk specifically about queer people with vulvas, you grow up and you want to sleep with someone else who has a vulva and you don't know how to do that. That puts you in a very vulnerable position. Mm-hmm. And I find that a lot of people I've spoken to have some of their first sexual experiences are bordering on abusive, because they don't know what to expect. They don't know how to do this. Mm. They don't know anything. And that does put you in a vulnerable position. So you're right. We do need to be talking about healthy relationships. We need to be talking about boundaries. We need to be talking about red flags, green flags. We need to be talking about queer people and sex and queer people and STIs. We're not just talking about pregnancy and abstinence and stuff like that. I think you're totally right. We need to delve way deeper into sex education.
Yeah, and keeping it like across the board. And also, even if there was a gender binary that everyone confined to, there's nothing wrong with straight cis men learning about periods, because they probably should know what 50% of the world are dealing with. Like, they probably should have a fucking clue what's going on, you know? Like, there's no reason why. And also, that also creates a shame and a stigma around it, because they've never been exposed to things like that, and that information is brand new, and they see it as gross and scary and something that they don't have to be part of. But it's like, at the end of the day, you're still dealing with 50% of people in your life that are, like, just educate yourself about human beings, you know? Like, I think it's just like, it's so important.
Let's say you were with a partner and they were diagnosed with bipolar. You would read up on bipolar to learn about them, to get to know them more. Why aren't we doing that about basic things? Like, don't you want to know that, like, let's say your partner does have a period, don't you want to know how that works? Don't you want to know, like, what they're going through? To me, it's just like basic human decency. So we should all be learning the same things, so we can be better humans, we can be better friends, better partners.
And support each other. I've seen so many videos online of guys going, how do you pee with a tampon in? I'm like, you are a grown-ass man.
Oh, my God.
Google it. I know.
I don't know how these people, like, get up and have a 9-to-5. You don't know about that, but you can go and do a 9-to-5 job and you go into your office and...
and get paid a certain percentage more than me.
Literally.
The gender wage gap.
Yeah. And people think you are better than me. And you think that, okay, babe, I didn't think.
Oh, God. And we've got time for one more question. And my question would be, what is your advice to someone who might be struggling with bisexuality myths or stereotypes, or someone who feels like they can't come out because of things like biphobia?
I would say a huge, huge, huge bit of advice I would give is to educate yourself on the history of bisexuality. I know that sounds boring and not like the funnest answer possible, but I think that it's what really helped me. I think that I'm the sort of person that, like, you know, seeing that proof and that evidence really solidifies things for me. So, like, if you get that internalized biphobia and you think, like, oh, maybe I'm not bisexual, maybe I am a lesbian, and, like, maybe I am doing this for attention, blah, blah, blah. You learn about bisexual history, you'll find some really crazy things. Like, the first ever Pride March was created by a woman called Brenda Howard, and she was a bisexual woman. And, you know, everyone, not everyone, but
that's awesome.
Countries around the world yearly will do a pride march. And that started from a bisexual woman, which is crazy. And that you can look at the Bisexual Manifesto, which I think is so cool. That was in a magazine called Anything That Moves, which is a hilarious name for a queer magazine. And in 1990, I think on the front cover, it was like a new sexuality ? And it was like bisexuality. And the Bisexual Manifesto. And even in that, because we get a lot of accusations that bisexuals are transphobic and not trans inclusive, which is not the case. But even in the Bisexual Manifesto, it says one or more genders. It's not just binary.
Awesome.
So yeah, definitely learning about your history, learning about the people around you. Like Lady Gaga was bisexual. Like if that doesn't empower you, I don't know what will. You know what I mean?
She's a slaying queen.
Selfless plug here, but on my Instagram, which is at radicallove.co.uk, there's a highlight.
Yeah.
And I did bisexual history from the beginning of time.
Oh, I'm so going to watch that.
Up until today. I think it needs to be updated for the last like year. But like literally back to Vikings to now. And there's some really, really cool stuff in there. And it does just sort of, it empowers you and it makes you proud to be bisexual. And
yeah.
And then another piece of advice that I would be find your people. It can be difficult, but once you find your people, you've got that love, you've got that support, and you know, you do feel like you can take on the world when you've got the right people around you. So read up on your history and find the right people, and you can take on the world with your big bisexual energy.
I love it. And you know what? The internet's such a great tool for that. And it brought you and I together.
It has.
So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I've loved chatting with you. Thank you so much.
What a gorgeous end to my day. I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Same. I hope you enjoyed my chat with the wonderful Cassie. Please let me know on my Instagram or any of my social media if you have any stories or thoughts of your own to share. See you next week. Peace.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.